no more what's going to happen, but praise God what is happening. And we'll be looking at Him and seeing Him face to face. Amen? And I praise the Lord. I pray it'll be soon. I want to have back there in the back, Skyler, my buddy back there. Stand up, if you will, Skyler. Stand up back there. He got his grandparents with him. You don't want to stand up. That's all right. He's in a red shirt. There he goes. He got it. He got it. I knew you could stand up. I knew you learned how to walk last week, so that's good. But Skyler got saved just 2 weeks ago, I think, in junior church. And so praise the Lord for that. And it's good to have his grandparents. Jan Cash, she's married to Johnny Cash. No, she's not. But and then we've got his grandparents there with him. And so we're going to be baptizing Skyler here real soon. I'm going to get with them. And looking forward to that. But it's good to have them with us this morning, as well as we mentioned Brother Matthew here and his friends he's brought with him. I told him, I said, go up to Brother Curtin back there. I said, don't say anything to him. Just lift up your legs, show him your socks. And he's got his preaching socks on this morning. He may show them to you later tonight. But he wears his preaching socks every day. Brother Curtin is back there. And just because his wife's going to preach to him. And amen. John chapter number 5 this morning. I want you to pray for me. I can't hardly breathe. I've been battling this thing for about a month. But it just goes from one thing to another with it. But God's grace is sufficient. But I'm telling you this because if, I get wound up and I happen to lose too much air and I pass out and die, or pass out at least, and unconscious, if Rick is the only one that can give me CPR, let me die. And Brother Rick says, you're going to die anyway. I don't know CPR, so. John chapter 5 this morning. We'll start reading verse number 1. John chapter 5. The Bible says, in John chapter number 5, verse number 1, you there, say amen. Amen. All right. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, Sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you so much for loving us. And Lord, we come to you this morning asking for your help. Lord, if there's ever been a day I needed you, this is that day. I pray, Lord, that you'd cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self. Fill me, Lord, with your spirit. I pray you'd hide me behind the cross of Christ and that I'd say nothing does not need to be said and everything that does. Of all things, we pray the name of Christ to be lifted up in here this morning. When we're all said and done, we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory that's due your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach this morning, if God will help me, on this thought, waiting when you could be walking. Waiting when you could be walking. In our passage this morning, the Bible tells us about a man. He's been sick for 38 years. He's had this same problem for 38 years. He's been crippled and impotent and lame on his feet now for 38 years. But the Bible tells us in verse number 3 that he, as well as many others, are waiting and have been waiting for many years. It says in verse number 3, In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, watch this, waiting for the moving of the water. So here's this man who's been crippled, he's been lame, has not been able to walk for some 38 years. But the thing about it is, he's now here waiting by the pool, and many others waiting with him. But by the time you get to verse number 9, this man is no longer waiting, but instead you find him now walking. And I believe in his heart, he's walking and leaping and praising God. And so for the next few hours, I want to preach on waiting when you could be walking. I want you to understand this morning, this man been waiting for a long time, 38 years. He's been waiting for something to change his life. And one day Jesus passed by and asked him this simple question, "Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" And how he answered that question would determine whether or not when the invitation was passed, he'd still be waiting by that pool or he would be walking out of that place. Friend, can I tell you this morning, there are churches all over this nation this morning, all over our country, all over our community with folks sitting in them that's been waiting for something to change their life, that's been waiting for something to make a difference. They've been, many of them, just like this man, he's waiting for the troubling of the waters. And many people are waiting on some emotional experience. They're waiting on some great supernatural sign, or they're waiting for a star to fall out of the sky, hit them on the head, and change their condition. They want a magic wand. Some people have been waiting for their, quote, proverbial ship to come in for many years, and the money, have what they need to make their life better. And they've been waiting for something to change their life. Chances are this morning there's people in here in this building like that this morning, and you've been waiting for things to be different. You've been waiting for things to be better. You've been waiting for your problems to be solved. You've been waiting for a solution to your sorrow. I want to tell you this morning, you don't have to wait anymore. You can walk out of here changed. You can walk out of here different. You can walk out of here with a brand new life in Christ Jesus this morning. Wonder who in here is waiting when you could be walking. It all depends on how you answer the question this morning. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? The backdrop of this story this morning is Jesus is in his Galilean ministry. He's just healed the nobleman's son. In fact, it's the second miracle he's performed since being in Galilee. The first we know was when he turned the water into wine. And Jesus has just healed the nobleman's son, and now he's just on his way, the Bible tells us, to Jerusalem. There's a feast, it seems, there at Jerusalem. And as he's coming to Jerusalem, he passes by the part of town that the Bible says the sheep market or sheep gate is. There by the temple where the sacrifices would be offered up. This was the place that you would find, if you were to go by there, those who were poor, those who were crippled, those who were blind, those who had some need in their life. They had some problem in their life. It was much harder in those days for these folks with an infirmity to find and get what they need. There was no welfare system back then. There was nothing to take up for people who had a need. And so they resorted to the only thing that they had, begging. You remember that back in those days, you remember we see Lazarus there at the temple and he's begging. And Peter and John says, "Silver and gold have I none, such as I have, give I unto thee." And many others there, we see them throughout the Word of God, they're begging. As Jesus passes by this part of town, there by the sheep market, the Bible says that there's a pool there by the name of Bethesda. This pool, the Bible says, has five porches on it. And anytime you'd go by there, you would find those that are lame, as we said, those that are crippled, those that are blind, some that are poor, somebody who had an infirmity in their life, they'd be laying, sitting or laying around that pool. And the Bible says every so often an angel would come and would trouble the water, and when he would trouble the water, that power would be there, and if somebody got in, they would be healed and they would be helped. I want to say to you this morning, friend, there are no pools today that we can get you around where you can get help. We can fill this baptistry up to the rim, and I can go one by one, baptize everybody in here this morning. But listen, that water's not going to bring any healing power, because listen, the power's not in the water itself. But I think what's missing today, brother, in our churches, I think what's missing is a place where people can come, a place where people can show up, a place where people can frequent, and they can get around the power of God and the presence of God, and they can get some help in their time of need. Can I just say this morning? Of everything Crossroads Baptist Church ought to be, it ought to be a place that's troubled by the Holy Ghost of God. Can I say this morning, what we need more than anything else is we need the Holy Ghost. Listen, you can do it without me. We can do it without that great choir. We can do it without that special singing if we had to. But we cannot do without the preaching and without the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Listen, we need God to move in our midst. As we read this passage of Scripture, the Bible focuses on this one particular man. You see it narrowed down. There are many there, but it narrows it down to this one who's been crippled for 38 years. Been laying for 38 years, but one day Jesus passed by and asked him the question, "Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" I want you to notice several things about this man, the reason he got healed and the reason that he got help. First of all, I want you to notice his desire. Notice his desire. Look with me back in verse number 5, starting of our text, chapter 5. "And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." You know what we see about this man? We see he had a desire. He had done everything he knew to do, but I want you to think about this question for a moment. Jesus asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Other words, Jesus is saying to this man, think about it, he's been sick for 38 years, crippled for 38 years, dealing with this problem for 38 years, and Jesus, in a sense, is saying to him, "Do you want to be better? Do you want to be well?" Now, to you and I, at first glance, that sounds like a silly question. That sounds like somebody asked me if I liked to ride motorcycles. I'd say something like, "Does a fat kid like cake?" Huh? I mean, that sounds like a silly question at first glance, but Jesus knew some things that many times we don't. He said, "Do you want to be well?" Why did Jesus ask him this question? Number one, because Jesus is always a gentleman. I want to understand this morning, Jesus does not trample on our free will. Jesus does not trample on our personal freedom. Jesus does not force himself on you and I, but he'll respect our decision if this man does not want to be healed, if this man does not want to be changed, if this man does not want his life to be different. Jesus will respect and will honor his decision, and he'll leave him the way that he found him. I want you to understand something this morning. When it comes to our salvation, when it comes to us having a new life in Christ, when it comes to our lives being different, Jesus does not force us. Jesus does not command us. Jesus does not invade us, but he invites us to come and be saved. He never forces himself on anyone. If you want to remain in your condition, then he'll allow you to do just that. He invites us to enter into, though, a whole new way of living. He invites us to have a changed life, but you got to have a desire to be changed. Amen. There's got to be a desire to be. Jesus said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And this man begins to tell him how he's tried and tried time after time to get to the pool or to get up or get somebody to bring him, and yet he's failed every single time. And one thing we know is he had a desire to be changed. Been dealing with this for 38 years. You can see the urgency and desire for his life to change when you read the passage of Scripture. You can see the desire for things to be different. You can sense his desire for help. As he says, "Here's the problem, Jesus. I got no man to put me in the water and no man to help me to the pool." And you can sense the desire that he has for help. Can I just tell you this morning, one of the greatest chances you have of getting help is when you want help. When you need help. When you're looking for help. The fact of the matter is, you see, Jesus asked this man, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You know what the truth about it is this morning? Some people don't want help. Some people don't want help. We was talking, somebody mentioned Sunday school. My wife's telling me a story about a man, or it was actually a lady, that, we got the peddlers on the road. And I know some of them need it and those things, and some of them are truly poor, but a lot of them making $100,000+ a year doing that stuff. But the fact of the matter is, some people don't really want help. I've seen people offer them jobs. I've seen people try to give them work. And the fact is, they don't really want help. I used to work with a guy. His brother was homeless. I met him one day. We were all there together, and his brother came by. He said, I've offered him this. I've tried to help him. He likes that way of living. He wants to live that way, and he don't really want help. You see, the fact is, there are some people that don't really want any help. They're enjoying too much their wretched life. They're enjoying too much their miserable condition. And though they may have a broken and dysfunctional home, though they may have a broken and dysfunctional marriage, though they may have, their body may have been riddled by drugs and by all kinds of ungodly living and may be destroyed, though everything in their life may be falling apart, the devil has tricked them and deceived them and hoodwinked them into believing that their life is better the way they are than the life of a child of God. I want to tell you something, friends. Some people don't want help. They don't want help. I talked to a man one time. He said, I thought I was having fun. How many has ever met somebody that they didn't realize how bad smoke bothered people, their cigarettes, and stunk until they quit? And then they could see the light. Content. Many people content stay in their condition. Seems like a silly question, wilt thou be made whole? But the reality is, Jesus knew everybody don't want help. You see, Jesus said, if I come and help you and heal you, then you can't lay around this pool and gossip all day. If I come and help you and heal you, then you can't be a beggar anymore. If I come and help you and heal you, then you can't use your illness to get special treatment anymore. Can't get the sympathy anymore. You know why a lot of people won't come to God? Because they don't want to take responsibility for their life. Watch this. They like using the excuses about why they are the way they are. Well, it's my family. You know, I come from a broken home. My dad's an alcoholic. And I'm not making light into that. I've been involved in some of that mess. I understand it. But can I tell you this? That's not the reason that I am the way I am. We make choices and determine who we're going to be and who we're going to follow. Jesus is saying, do you want things to be different? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? If the answer is yes, then a miracle can take place in your life, Jesus said. If the answer is no, can I tell you something? Even Jesus can't help you. If you don't want to be helped, if you don't have a desire for something to change in your life, even Jesus cannot help you. Let me just say this morning, if you walk out the doors without Bible salvation this morning, it's not because he wouldn't, it's because you wouldn't. If you want, he said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you walk out without being saved by the grace of God, if you walk out this morning with that, still carrying that burden, if you walk out still with that problem, if you walk out still with that situation you're dealing with, it won't be because God wasn't willing. We know, and it definitely won't be because he's not able. The Bible says his hand is not shortened that he cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face far from thee. It's not because God won't, because you won't. Do you have a desire? If you walk in the same way you walked out, it's your fault, not God's. Number one, we see his desire. Secondly, notice his deficiency. Look at verse number 7. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. His deficiency. Watch this. He couldn't do it by himself. He couldn't do it by himself. Here this man's been laying at this pool for years. He's an impotent man, cannot walk, cannot get around, nothing he can do for himself. Jesus asked him, wilt thou be made whole? He said, listen, I got no one to help me. I got no one to put me in the water. There's nothing I can do. Listen, I can't do it myself, he said. He realized he had a deficiency. Can I tell you this morning, one of the greatest days of my life is the day I realized I can't do it by myself. One of the greatest days, in fact, the greatest day of my life, is the day I realized I was lost and undone without God or His Son, and there was nothing I could do. I had a deficiency. I was depraved. I was in my lost condition. I couldn't do nothing myself. I could not save myself. I could not get to God myself. I could not get to heaven myself. I have a deficiency. But thank God, one day Jesus Christ passed by my way. and he saw me down there in that muck, and he saw me down there in that mess, and he saw me down there in that mire, and he saw something different in me about his heavenly choir. Can I just tell you this morning, thank God for the day Jesus passed by my way and picked me up out of that pit, set my feet on a solid rock, established my going, put a new song in my mouth. Praise, even praising to our God, the Bible says, many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. And can I tell you something? You know what I'm glad about this morning? Thank God when I could not go to where he was, he came to me. Thank God when I could not get to where he was, he got to me. When I couldn't make it to where he was, he made it to me. And he saved me, and he changed me, and he bought me, and he taught me that my life could be different. A deficiency. Do you realize this morning you can't do it yourself? Can't do it yourself. Thank God for the day Jesus looked past my fault and saw my need. Listen, I'm glad for the day he reached way further down than you or I could ever reach up. Sometimes people ask, preacher, how you know it's real? Can I just say this morning? I know what he did for me. How you know it's real? Oh, they can argue this book. They can argue all these other things, but they can't argue about what Jesus has done for me. What a blind man say, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. All I know is once I was blind, now I can see. I know what he did. Listen, I know what I am and who I am outside of the grace of God. And friend, this morning, if you'd ever come to the place where you realize and recognize your need of him and the fact, listen, that he can do the same thing for you. I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't care how strong you think you are. I don't care how capable you think you are. And of yourself and your own power and ability, your life's going to end up in a mess. We need God. We need God. But if you give your life to him, but he could take it and make something out of it you can't even imagine. But we got to acknowledge we have a deficiency. And all of us have one. You know what it is? Sin nature. Sin nature. The greatest thing, and you still got it even after you're saved. But that's all you got before you get saved. Once you get saved, you get a new nature. You got a second option. You can walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But before you get saved, you're dead in trespasses and sins, and all you can do is sin. We're appalled sometimes as Christians about sinners sinning. That's their nature. That's what they're going to do. The greatest thing that's helped me as a Christian is when I acknowledge the fact. I had people say to me, preacher, they get out of church, they say, preacher, I just can't live it. I said, sir, you're right, you can't. I can't. We need God. We need God's grace. One of the greatest things that's helped me in my Christian life is to just know and understand and accept the fact I need God every day. I need his help. As a father, I need his help. As a husband, I need his help. As a preacher and as a pastor, I need God's help. Why? Because I have a deficiency. I try and never make important decisions without begging God, oh God, help me. I try not walk in to counsel somebody without asking God for his help. I try to never walk in to this building, going to walk behind this sacred pulpit without asking God, oh God, I need your help. And by the way, the house of God ought to be a place where people can get some help. I didn't say get entertained. I didn't say a place where you can get your ears tickled, amen. I said God's house ought to be a place where you can get your help, get some help. Listen, many people, they're taking the pulpits off the stage. They're putting up a screen and piping in something or somebody else, some video screen. They're taking away Bible preaching and replacing it with dance teams and drama clubs, and they're trying to make the church like the world. Can I just say this morning, the world does not need another imitation of itself, but it needs a place that's real and that's right. And listen, people are walking into the doors of these places, and they're finding everything that appeals to the flesh, and they're finding everything. Thing, but the one thing they ought to be finding, help. Charles Spurgeon came home. I told some of you this before. Came home one time. He told his mom, he got saved and joined the Baptist church. His mom said, well, Charles, she said, I prayed for years that you'd get saved, but not that you'd be a Baptist. Charles Spurgeon said, well, mama, in God's like fashion, he gave you more than you ever asked for. Amen. Can I just say this morning, I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. I'm glad to be a member of an old-fashioned Bible-believing church. And listen, I'm glad I have a place I can come to and not just be entertained and not just have a good time and not just have my ears tickled, but there's a place that we can come and get help. Because we have a deficiency. We need God. We see his desire, secondly, his deficiency. Notice thirdly, his distraction. Look what he says. Verse number 7. The impotent man answered him, sir, watch this, I have no man. Sir, I have no man. He was looking to the wrong source. Church, religion, preachers, can't make you a Christian. He said, sir, I have no man. I love helping. Anybody knows me, knows, man, if I can help you, I will. If there's anything I can do, I mean, I want to help people. But the fact of the matter is, there are some things that are way greater than I am. There are some things that's much bigger than what I can do. And you need something bigger than man. Many times people are looking for man and turning to man for help when only God can help. For 38 years, this crippled man had been looking to man. By the way, this man's a picture and a type of a sinner. Look at verse number 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, this is after he healed him, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. You understand, this morning, every single one of us were crippled. Every single one of us were born with an infirmity. Every single one of us were lame on our feet. We're depraved. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says that none righteous, no, not one, and there's nothing that you or I or any man can do to help us with our sin. The Bible says he who knew no sin, that's Jesus, became sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know the best thing you could do this morning? Stop trusting in what you can do. Stop trusting in what man can do. And start trusting in what God can do. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know what that means? That means he's the beginning. Thank God. That means he's the end. And he's everything in between. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus that does the saving, and he does the keeping too. He's the source of our help. He's the source of our satisfaction. He's the source of our salvation. Notice here in verse 7, standing by this man is Jesus, the Savior of the world, yet he never took his eyes off the water. He said, I have no man when the water is troubled. Can I tell you this morning, there's a world of people out there that realize what they're doing is not working. They realize that their life is messed up. And I'll tell you something, this world is messed up and they're turning to everyone else and everything else instead of turning to the one thing that's able to help them. A lot of people are weightless. You know what they're doing? They're waiting on this election and all their hopes are in whoever gets elected as president. And they're waiting on that to fix their problems. Can I just say this morning? All those people that were waiting on Obama to fix their life, they're still waiting. They're waiting on some political party. They're waiting on some great Messiah. They're waiting on some man to fix their life. But you're looking to the wrong source. Looking at the wrong source. Many people realize their life's not what it ought to be, and they're trying to find help in a bottle of booze or in a bottle of pills, and they're trying to find help with their life in a bar room. They're trying to find help with their life in a bedroom, and what they find is the booze does not help, and what they find is the bottles does not help, and what they find is the bedroom does not help. They find even the bigger bank account does not help. It just makes things worse, makes them a bigger drunkard. A bigger druggie, a bigger fornicator. Only Jesus can help. God made man to have fellowship with him. Every single one of us was born with a God-shaped hole inside of us. We have a hole inside of us, you understand that, that only God can fill. And what we try to do too often times is we try to fill that hole with pleasure, and we try to fill that hole with power, try to get some power maybe on a job or in the secular world. We try and fill that hole with politics. We try and fill that hole with possessions. We try and fill that hole with pills. We try and fill that hole with all kinds of other things, but there's only one thing that can fill that hole, and it's not a pill, and it's not power, and it's not politics, but it's a person, and His name is Jesus Christ. The Bible says when we fill that hole with Him, immediately we pass from death unto life. You want your life to be different? You want your life to change? Jesus Christ is the answer. Somebody may be here this morning. For years you've been looking for something to change your life. Now you've been looking in the wrong places. You don't have to look any further. Look what Jesus says to this man, verse 7. The man says, I have no one to help me. Look at verse 8. Jesus says, watch this. Arise, take up thy bed, and walk. He didn't say get in the pool. He didn't say wait until the water's troubled and I'll toss you in. Jesus was not looking for the pool for help. He was not looking for anything else for help. But He simply said to this man, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. First of all, He said, rise. You know what He's saying? Trust me. Just rise. Just get up. This man knew he couldn't get up. He'd been laying there for 38 years. Jesus said, rise. You know what it took? It took a little bit of faith. It took a little bit of faith. He said, just trust me and do what I say. All it took was simple faith. Jesus said, get up. Quit looking at everything else. Quit looking at everyone else. I've talked to people before after they got saved. They say, wow, preacher, I didn't know it could be that easy. I didn't know my life could be changed that easy. God says, just rise, get up, come to Him, trust in Him. And then He says, what does He say? Take up thy bed. Man, I like this. Take up thy bed. I believe He is saying a couple things when He says, take up thy bed. Number one, I believe He is saying, you're not going to need that anymore. Listen, that's for sick people. That's for people that can't do anything for themselves. So we still need God. That's for people that are sick. That's for people that hadn't been healed. Listen, you're not going to need that anymore. Take up thy bed. But I believe He's saying another thing. Not only you're not going to need that anymore, but watch this. You're not coming back here anymore. You're not coming back here anymore. You know what happened the day I got married? But I took up my bed. I know some of the boys said, I believe in leaving and cleaving. I took up my bed. I wasn't planning on ever going back there, at least to stay or to live. It wasn't going to be somewhere that I was going to spend my life. I took up my bed and got out. You know why? Because I wasn't planning on ever going back to that place. It was the beginning of a brand new life. It was the beginning of a new start. There's many Christians that's been saved for years, but they've never taken up their bed. They keep going back to the same old conditions. They keep going back to the same old wretched places. They keep hanging with the same old rotten people. They keep on running with the same wicked crowd. And they're still doing all those same things. And listen, they've never gone. Jesus said, take up thy bed. I've changed you forever. The Bible says it's as a dog returning to its vomit. I wonder how many here has been saved, but you've never taken up your bed. You're still living in that same condition. Nothing's different now than when you got saved 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Same crowd, same people, same problems, same predicament. Jesus said, take up thy bed. Can I just say this morning, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And when Jesus saves us, He changes us, and there should be a difference in our life. Then he says, and walk. You know what he's saying? Go show the world what I've done for you. You know what our job is as Christians? To walk with Him. Walk with God. The only two men in the Bible is recorded ever walked with God, Enoch and Noah. Out of all the Word of God, there's only two men that's ever recorded to have walked with God. He says, walk. We're to walk throughout this world and show the world what Jesus has done in our life. It can be very discouraging as a pastor sometimes when people get out of church or they get away from God or folks get saved and after serving God for a while they go back to their old life. But it can be very, very encouraging when somebody gets saved and man, they get in and they take up that bed and they walk. They begin walking with God in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the line. They're still, you see them, they're still loving God, still walking with God, and still going on for the Lord. It's thrilling as a pastor to see folks stay faithful to the Lord. And you can imagine if it thrills my heart, how it thrills the heart of the Lord, the one who saved us and has told us, take up thy bed, walk. The only thing this man's mind was on was finding someone to get him in the water. He had a distraction. He was looking to the wrong source. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things you can avail yourself to today. And it seems like everybody has the fix to your problems. Budweiser has the fix to your problems. You can't watch TV 5 minutes before you got some kind of drug commercial on there. They got the fix for your problems. You got the matchmaker sites. They got the fix for your loneliness and your problems. Can I just tell you this? Jesus is the only one that will be that one that will never leave you or forsake you. We see His desire. We see His deficiency. We see His distraction. Notice lastly, His deliverance. His deliverance. Verse number 9. And immediately the man was made whole. Now here's why I use my sanctified imagination. This man's been laying here for a long time. I mean, he was a fixture at this place. Everybody seen him there. They expected him to be there. And can you imagine it wasn't very long before people begin asking, wonder what happened to him? He died? I can see him now. What happened to him? He must have went ahead and kicked the bucket. Must have passed off. Did he die? Oh no, he's not dead. He's been delivered. What happened? Jesus passed by. Jesus passed. They said, "Wait, he didn't even get in the water. Nobody got him in the water." You know what, friend? When you get what Jesus has, when you come to Him, He gives you all the water you're ever going to need. You don't need to get in the water. You need to get under the blood. And when you get under the blood, He said, I'll give you a well of water springing up into everlasting life, and it's all you're ever going to need. Amen. His deliverance. You see, the fact is this morning, those that want to be changed, I can't do it. You can't do it. But I know a man who can do it. His name's Jesus. He's the one that changed my life. He's the one that's changed many people's life in this building. But I wander in here this morning. Maybe somebody, you've got another problem, a burden you've carried. Maybe you've even brought it to the altar, but you didn't take it to the Lord and leave it there. You brought it back with you. Maybe you're carrying unforgiveness. Maybe you're carrying bitterness. I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, Jesus can make you whole this morning. He can make you whole this morning. I wonder how many in here are waiting when you could be walking. I wonder how many in here are still waiting for your life to change. You're still waiting. Listen, when you could already been saved, you could already been baptized, you could already had your family in and saved and baptized, you could be doing something for God this morning, you could be living a different life this morning, you could have a different godly home this morning. I talk to people sometimes, I say, preacher, I didn't have a godly home, I didn't have a Christian home, I don't have a goodly heritage. You know what I tell them? You start one. Let it start with you. Let it begin with you. How many are still running with the same old crowd, doing the same old things and yet expecting a different outcome? Can I just say, it was the cross that made the difference for me. It was the cross that made the difference for me. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. How many this morning, you're waiting, you've been waiting and waiting, and you're still waiting. You could be walking, but you're still laying by the pool. Waiting by the pool, waiting for some miracle, waiting for some emotional experience, waiting for something to change your life. Jesus passing by this morning. Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst, he said, and he can change your condition. He can give you a new life in Christ. While we stand this morning, if God spoke to your heart, why don't you come?